Hello and welcome to an Australian Institute of International Affairs podcast interview. I'm Annabelle McGilvray and I'm Director of Communications with the Institute. I'm joined today by Nick Greiner, former New South Wales Premier and now Chairman of the European Australian Business Council, among many other roles. Thanks for joining me today, Nick.
It's a pleasure, Annabelle.
We're discussing the recent signing, finally, of the Australian-European Framework Agreement. It happened on the 7th of August when Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop and High Representative of the EU for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, Federica Mogherini, met briefly in Manila on the sidelines of the recent ASEAN Regional Forum. Nick, the agreement has been a long time coming. What does it mean practically for the EU-Australia relationship?
Well, it's certainly true. It's been, probably at least 2 years from the final, what might have been the final agreement. These things do tend to take perhaps longer than those of us a bit outside think is necessary or appropriate. But I don't think one should read much into anything into that delay. Look, I think the Australia-EU relationship overall needs to be seen as a journey, not an event. I know that's sort of trite, maybe, but this is not the sort of agreement that changes sanctions, that changes people's attitude to their own development of nuclear weapons or whatever. This is, in fact, I think, part of an evolution of the relationship, which both sides believe and have believed probably for 4 or 5 years, has been historically undercooked. So while there is, I think everyone accepts there's a lot of commonality, a lot of shared values, the truth is I think the significance of this is really in terms of rebuilding or building the momentum for closer Australia-EU relationships right across the board. And of course, because we are in many ways similar, these agreements tend to cover a very large range of not only of public policy, but also of what people care about. So I think it needs to be seen as an important next step in the journey of closer Australia-EU relationships. And that's really reflected, I think, in what Foreign Minister Bishop said at the time of the signing.
And, you know, as you say, it covers a broad range of areas. But what, if anything, will it mean for EU-Australia trade in particular?
I think the straight answer to that has to be not in itself very much at all. What it does is accentuate the nature of the relationship at a high level. Frankly, when the EABC mission led by Senator Cormann and myself was in Brussels 6 weeks ago, the warmth of the welcome, both at the, you might call it the bureaucratic level and at the political level from the MEPs and the relevant MEP committee and so on, couldn't have been warmer, more enthusiastic. So whilst there's a certain normal nature in some of these interactions, I think the level of enthusiasm for the Australia-EU Free Trade Agreement, which no doubt we'll talk about in a minute, is very great. I think in economic terms, the framework agreement doesn't do a great deal, certainly not in the short term, but it certainly, I think, gives one even more confidence that the FTA process will in fact be positively pursued by both sides.
So, I mean, I guess turning towards the FTA, you know, what is the scale of EU-Australia trade today?
Well, the EU is our largest, depending on how you look at it, our largest or second largest foreign investor. It's the third largest trading partner. It's a very important, if somewhat beyond below the radar, relationship. So really what the Free Trade Agreement's meant to do is to build on that, is to drive on what is, and frankly, what's been happening for 40 or 50 years, just doesn't get as much attention as some of the other relationships that Australia has.
And so where are we up to with those negotiations for the free trade agreement?
Well, I think they will start in reality in November this year when Commissioner Malmstrom, who is the relevant commissioner in terms of trade, and is coming to Australia. We've had a scoping study, which is part of the EU's way of going about these things. That scoping study was completed in rather less time than is normal, perhaps in more time than I think appropriate, but less time than is normal. My understanding, I don't know, but my understanding is there's certainly no red flags that came up in the scoping study. So the answer to your question is that negotiations proper are going to start in a couple of months. The Prime Minister and the EU President, Mr. Tusk, have both committed themselves to accelerating the process. I think Mr. Turnbull's objective is about 2 years. That would be some sort of world and Olympic record for a free trade agreement most free trade agreements. But given that there is a bit of a model in the similar agreement that Canada reached with the EU, and given the goodwill on both sides, certainly the EABC, which I represent, Annabelle, we're very keen from the, call it the outside, to push the pace. So we think the Prime Minister's objective of a couple of years, while ambitious, is a good objective.
We can only hope to break some records. I guess clearly, the UK is also placing a lot of emphasis on advancing its own post-Brexit FTA with Australia. Is there any chance that the EU negotiations will be overshadowed, particularly with personalities like Boris Johnson leading the UK push?
Yeah, look, yes, I'm sure the EU doesn't have an equivalent to Boris, at least not in personality and perhaps charisma. My attitude, and I think the Australian government's attitude, but my attitude and the EABC's, is that we would like both of these things to happen with all deliberate speed. The reality is that you can walk and chew gum, but you probably won't have to. The Australia-EU FTA is very much more advanced for obvious reasons. In the chronological sense, very much more advanced. The UK isn't really able to undertake meaningful negotiations on a bilateral basis until it extricates itself from the EU. So our position is that these are not either or. Whilst you can understand people thinking about them in a vaguely competitive sense, and if indeed that causes any party to be more keen on accelerating the pace, that's fine as far as I'm concerned. So I think one shouldn't see it as a competitive situation. I think it is obvious that Australia would be one of the natural countries with which the UK would want to deal. But frankly, from the EABC point of view, having worked hard to get the EU-Australia agreement on the table, we'd like to hope that will happen as reasonably quickly as is possible. And when the UK is able to negotiate individually, independently, we hope Australia and the UK can negotiate an agreement as quickly as possible. Frankly, I think it's good for Australia that we're sort of a pretty girl being courted by two handsome young men. Well, perhaps not so young anyway.
Thanks very much for joining us, Nick. That's my final question. If anyone would like further information about international affairs or the EU-Australia framework agreement, please go to internationalaffairs.org.au or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Thanks again.